In latter years, I've been returning to some of the things I was involved in as a teenager, including, somewhat to my surprise, enjoying a little bit of opera. I was brought up in a family that was very keen and spent quite a bit of money taking us, and as well as that, my dad was regularly involved in amateur opera, and I was often roped in to swell the audience. Don't remember a huge amount about it, but I do remember one part he played, Sarastro in the Magic Flute, because one of the lines he had to deliver was, in character of course, "I know all." And of course, as a teenager, hearing your father say that publicly is quite hilarious. Someone once said when they were 14, they were convinced their parents knew nothing. 10 years later, they were amazed how much they'd learned in such a short space of time. The Bible's insistence, though, is that even the wisest of parents, or any other human being for that matter, most definitely does not know all. Only God knows all. But the good news is that wisdom is available from the Lord to all who would seek it. In the Old Testament Proverbs especially, there's a focus on our human need for wisdom. And it's a theme that James returns to twice, as we've heard. First of all, in verse 5 of chapter 1, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." If any of you lacks wisdom, it would be a foolish person indeed who believed that never applied to us. Every single one, at times in our lives, will struggle with making a good decision. From an earlier stage in life, shall I get a job or keep studying for more qualifications? Should I marry the man or woman I'm quite fond of, or hold on in case someone who's got everything I'm looking for comes along later? Should we have another child, or is 6 enough? Is now the right time for a career change? Should I take early retirement on a reduced pension and hope we can manage or stick it out for a few more years? Would it be better to go into a care home, or shall I keep on struggling in my own place? Throughout life, most of us are faced with a number of particularly difficult decisions and dilemmas. There have been few of us who at some point or other haven't been aware of our need for wisdom. And James tells us when we lack wisdom, we should ask God for it, who, he adds, gives generously to all without reproach. In other words, when you need guidance, pray about it. Don't make the mistake of doing things entirely on your own or of just consulting other people. Talk to God. But that raises the important question, what kind of reply are we expecting? Some might assume that the answer to that prayer ought to be a definite instruction from on high. And we certainly read in parts of the Bible of that happening. In Acts chapter 8, for example, verse 26, "An angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" A clear instruction, supernaturally communicated. And God can, of course, still give people direct instructions like that in a clear, audible voice. Most of the time, I'd suggest, though, that's not the way it works. I've prayed for wisdom often enough, but never heard God speak audibly, and I reckon it's the same for most Christians. Many conclude for that, we must somehow, therefore, work out what God is saying. There's quite a lot of talk of the need to listen to God in prayer. The picture sometimes given being that he's transmitting a very faint radio signal from a long way away, and we have to somehow tune in and piece together his faint instructions. I must admit, I don't see a process quite like that happening anywhere in the scriptures. If God speaks to a person, he can be heard loud and clear, no questioning. And why should an all-powerful God play games with us by sending out instructions so weak we can hardly hear them? And actually, even the apostles don't appear to have been supernaturally guided by on every step. Listening to God isn't actually a New Testament phrase. Our reading from Acts chapter 20 spoke twice of Paul simply deciding what to do. And the promise here in James chapter 1, as we think about it, isn't that we'll be given exact instructions all the time to listen in for, but rather that we will be given wisdom, which I take to mean we'll be empowered to make wise decisions for ourselves. If we feel, well, it's just back to us, having asked God to give us the wisdom we need to decide well, he has promised to do so. And so we need to trust that promise to be true. But let him ask in faith for wisdom, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. So if we pray for wisdom over decision and there's no audible voice, and I suggest most of the time that's the experience of most of us, we need to have confidence God will be giving us the wisdom we need as we go through the normal decision-making process. As we weigh up the pros and cons of different courses of action, as we think through what principles of right and wrong might be involved, as where appropriate, we ask the opinion of others. And then James has a second bite of the cherry on the subject of wisdom that we heard from the end of chapter 3, which very much needs to be held alongside what I've said so far. Contrast there being between a godly idea of wisdom and a worldly idea. To some people, you see, being wise is about making sure you're the one that gets ahead. Some people would say if you want to succeed, you look at the person with the Rolls Royce and the country retreat and want what they've got so much that you'll do anything for it. Maybe for some that technique has delivered the goods. But it's certainly not true wisdom according to James. True wisdom finds its proof not in the size of a bank balance with a NatWest or Barclays, but rather the size of our bank balance with God. That's shown in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And in between those two verses, James has given a description of the contrasting worldly wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. There's quite an important point here. Many people assume the wisdom of a particular action can be gained by whether or not it gets the desired result. But I'd suggest that's not always true. Some people have discovered that you can get your money back from a shop, even if you don't really deserve it, if you're good at creating a fuss. If you make enough nuisance of yourself, it could well be that sooner or later they'll work out it's less trouble to give you what you want. Then again, when something goes wrong these days, many people's first reaction is, who can I sue? I was on a bike ride some time ago with some other Christians when one of them went foolishly fast, fell off, and got some pretty deep cuts. He knew he'd been primarily to blame. Everybody else in the group did too. But a solicitor who was a church member was encouraging him to sue. The bike company could have been more proactive in offering helmets, he said. But you know, even if you win your case, or more probably they give you something to shut you up, it doesn't necessarily mean that an action has been right or even wise, at least not wise in the spiritual sense of the term. Actually, to his credit, the bloke who'd fallen off, though he was quite young, decided he didn't really believe in that compensational culture, and even if he had a good chance of winning, it wasn't the right thing to take legal action. Then again, in one of the churches I worked in as a curate, there was a businessman who'd become a Christian a few years before, but who still had up his sleeve the full armory of tricks of the trade as to how to get your own way. And unfortunately, he used quite a few of them in the life of the church. On one occasion, there was a particularly delicate situation that was nothing to do with him, but he demanded a meeting to be told what was going on, and threatening all sorts if his wish wasn't granted. And the vicar and I decided to give in to his demand as the least bad option. But I remember adding to him, just because you've got the meeting you wanted doesn't make the tone of your demands or your threats right. Those tactics represent a wisdom of a kind, but what James calls wisdom, that is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil even. I don't think I added the last bit in what I said to him. And once we've realised that that guidance is often going to be a matter of praying for wisdom, then trusting God that he will give us the wisdom to make the decision ourselves, it is particularly important that we've got a right idea of wisdom in the first place. That is, that we're not just asking the question, what will achieve the best result for the immediate well-being of me and my family, but rather, is this course of action a good way to be going about things? What will be the effect on others? Is what I'm proposing to do pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, or is it the very opposite? For only if it is, can the decision to go ahead be classified as wisdom from heaven. Making decisions for most people isn't easy. And in some ways, when we come to Christian faith, it just becomes a bit more complicated as we have to throw in more strongly the sense of, is there a direction from God? And if there isn't a clear instruction, what might be the wisest course of action in his service? The encouragement here is to make sure that we have the right concept of wisdom, and that as we use our wisdom to make decisions, as we pray for wisdom, we're clear that what we decide has to be wise in the Lord's sight as well as in our own. Amen.